Amen. Okay, folks, if you want to take a seat, thank you so much to Paul and Vicky. Great to have you with us. And I'm going to invite Andy up, who's continuing on in Luke today. And I'm going to pray. Lord, we just pray now as we come to look at your word together. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that as we hear now this message from Andy, Lord, give him the strength. Lord, lead him. And Lord, prepare our hearts to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Not in Luke, in fact. In Acts. I'm going to be up here today just so I can see this little screen here so I can see when my slides are appearing. Otherwise, I'll get a crick in my neck, so forgive me. We tend not to use this stage unless we absolutely have to, but bear with me today. Oh, I do feel very high up here. We'll see how this goes. I may come down there. Okay, well, as you know, today is Pentecost. Did you know that? Yeah, Seb just turned to me towards the end and said, is it Pentecost today? So it is Pentecost today, and it is the birthday of the church. That's what we celebrate, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And for Jews, Pentecost fell 50 days after what feast? Passover, that's right. 50 days after that. The Greek word is Pentecosti, which means 50th. 50 days after Passover, they celebrated the feast of Pentecost. And like Passover 50 days earlier, God took the Old Testament Jewish festival of Pentecost and he gave it new meaning. You see, Pentecost was known as the Feast of Weeks to the Jews, and they celebrated the ingathering of the harvest. And it was the offering of first fruits. What happened at Pentecost? The first fruits of the church, when they all received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come to every generation of Christians since. It was the celebration of the first fruits, and God took that meaning and gave it a new meaning and dimension to the people at that first Pentecost. But there's more. In the Old Testament, at Pentecost, the Jews also celebrated the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai to Moses on the tablets of... Exactly, the tablets of stone. And here, what do we find at Pentecost? The law is written on our hearts, not on tablets of stone, fulfilling the prophecies of who? Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Two prophets from the Old Testament, fulfilling the prophecies of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, that the law would be no longer written on tablets of stone, but would be written on people's hearts. So as they celebrated at Pentecost, the giving of the law through Moses on the tablets of stone, here was a fulfillment of that in a very different form. Clever, huh? God takes these Old Testament Jewish celebrations and he gives them new meaning through Jesus. It was all part of the plan. It wasn't a mistake or a coincidence that Jesus died at Passover, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't just by coincidence, all part of God's great plan. And after Jesus' resurrection, which we celebrate at Easter, let's see if we've got any slides so far. Helps if I turn this on. There it is. Yeah, behind already. This isn't good, is it? After Jesus' resurrection at Easter, he appears to his followers for about 6 weeks, just under. Then he ascends into heaven, which was 40 days after Passover. And then we get Pentecost, which is 50 days after Passover. And Jesus says to them, just before he ascends into heaven, he says to them, trying to give you a bit of chronology here. He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here, where? Jerusalem, right? Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what? Power from on high. Look, here it is. I'm going to send you what my Father's promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Then they waited, how long? 10 days, that's right. Well done if you spotted the chronology back there. Waited 10 days before anything happened. 10 days! Some of us have trouble waiting 10 seconds. We say, right, we're going to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And after 10 seconds, we're looking at our watch thinking, well, he hasn't come. I'm going to go and get coffee. 10 days. 10 days. Imagine what they would have... That's another DVD I want to get out when I get to heaven. What did they do between ascension and Pentecost? Pray. Perhaps they did. Perhaps they did. That's all they did. I don't know. We don't know what they did during those 10 days. Waiting is not because God got his timings wrong. It's usually to see how desperate we are, how hungry we are, how much we want of him, from him. Waiting is usually about that. 10 days later, the Feast of Pentecost and the promised Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus' followers. We know it as the birthday of the church. I like that picture. I couldn't resist that one. Waiting. How good are we at waiting? Here's the passage. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This is Acts 2, by the way. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. They'd all gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. That's why they were all gathered in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, be thankful I didn't ask you to read this, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the other areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, be careful how you pronounce that one, and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and confused or perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. At 9 a.m. We absolutely need the Holy Spirit because he gives us, among other things, and I just want to touch on these three P's. Passion. Power. Proclamation. Or stretching a point. You ready for this? No, you'll never be ready for this. Pluckiness. Because that's boldness. And it begins with P. Pluckiness. Thank you very much. Don't encourage me. It will just get worse. The spirit of passion or fire. John the Baptist said of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The clue's in the slide. Fire. Matthew 3:11. John was a prophet, of course, amongst other things. He dressed weirdly. He was a prophet. And he spoke about Jesus baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. It wasn't actual fire. It was like fire. It doesn't say it was fire. It was just like fire. It was an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual transaction that was going on in the lives of the people that were there. Wasn't actual fire. It appeared like fire. But it was an outward sign of what was going on inside the people who were gathered in that room. About 120 of them, if you read Acts 1. And fire is about many things, but it is certainly about passion. On a good Sunday, you might say of the preacher, he was on fire today. He was on fire today. On a good Sunday. Never be lacking in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, Paul tells us in Romans 12, serving the Lord. The message says, don't burn out, keep yourself fueled and aflame, on fire. Paul, be filled with the Spirit. Go on being filled with that Spirit. And it's not a one-off, it's something that we need to do regularly. And he says in 1 Thessalonians, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't extinguish it. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Are you on fire or are you just a smoldering ember? Are you on fire for God or just a smoldering ember? If you've done Alpha, you've perhaps heard of the Holy Spirit. There it is. There's a picture. What seemed to be tongues of fire that had separated and came to rest on each of them. You've probably heard of this analogy that we use on the Alpha course about the Holy Spirit. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But is it a pilot light or is it the fully fired boiler? You know, which is it in you? Is the Holy Spirit like the pilot light or is it the fully fired boiler? You see, the water doesn't get heated in your heating system and through your taps until you've got the fire really burning in the boiler. The fuel gets to the pilot light and then there's a bigger fire going on to heat your water through your heating system, through your taps. I wonder which we are. Are we on fire? Have we got that pilot light just burning? Or are we on fire like the fully fired up boiler? The passion of the Spirit. The passion of the Spirit. That fire, that outward and visible sign of something going on inside these disciples, that spiritual change. They were on fire for God. Look at what they did after Pentecost. Look at the transformation that happened after Pentecost. Let's move on. The Spirit of power. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Slightly different translation there. A strong wind. It was a sound like a strong wind. Again, it wasn't a wind. It didn't blow them over. It didn't blow all the papers or the papyrus off the table. But it was the sound like a strong wind. Again, an outward sign of something happening inwardly. The Hebrew word ruach literally means breath or wind. And it's used in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit. Breath, wind. Holy Spirit. There was this sense of the Holy Spirit was blowing through where they were in a powerful way. And sometimes when the Spirit comes upon a person, they can shake or tremble or sway or even fall down. Have you seen that? Has that happened to you? Put your hand up if you've seen that or it's happened to you. Lots of you. Lots of you. And we shouldn't be surprised when the power of God comes upon into contact with our frail bodies, that those kind of physical manifestations take place. We shouldn't be surprised at that. Because if this truly is the power of God coming by His Spirit against our feeble frames, we're likely to tremble. We may even go over. We shouldn't be surprised. The Spirit blows like a strong wind. God's incredible invisible power. And the Holy Spirit makes the difference between a gospel of words and a gospel of power. We're passionate about that here at Mariners. Straight after Pentecost, Peter and John meet a crippled man on the way to the temple. And they said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. And he got up and he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. And we all remember the song. And you're trying not to sing it, aren't you, right now? He went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple because he was healed. The Holy Spirit makes such a difference. It says in Acts 5, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. I want it to be said of Mariners Church that they performed many miraculous signs and wonders amongst the people, such that Mariners was known for the power of God at work among the people. It's great that we've got over 80 good news stories, at least half of which are about physical healings this year so far. But don't we want more? Don't we want to be known across the city as a church where God moves in power? My message, Paul says, and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Amen? Don't we want that? That we want people to be trusting in the power of God, not in our eloquence. Paul's message, 1 Corinthians 2, to the Corinthian churches, it is exactly that. A demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on my wisdom or anyone's wisdom, but only on the power of God. We cannot fulfill the Great Commission in Matthew 28 without the Holy Spirit. It is the co-mission. He, him and me in partnership. That's the truth. We cannot do this job that God has given us to do on the earth today without the Holy Spirit. We cannot. The Christian life is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about inward transformation and outward transformation through us. Impossible. Teach them to obey, Jesus said in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, everything I've commanded them, including heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, raise the dead. Freely you've received from me, now freely give it away. What you've received from me, give it away. You see, that was part of the Great Commission. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That was the bit in Matthew 10. He didn't say, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, except that bit about healing the sick, casting out demons and raising the dead. Forget that. That was just for you boys. Didn't say that. He says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so they did through successive generations. The Christian life is impossible without the Holy Spirit. Look, we can put this to the test. Ready? Be holy because I am holy. How's that going for you? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How are you getting on with that? You see, these things are impossible unless the Spirit of God gives us the power to do them. Do you agree? Be Pentecostal for a minute. Encourage me. Thank you. We cannot live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit, period. The spirit of proclamation and pluckiness. Just as Jesus was about to be killed, Peter ran for the hills. And then, when he was plucky enough to come into the courtyard where Jesus was being tried before Caiaphas, Peter denied three times on three separate occasions, separated by minutes, that he knew Jesus. And then the cock crowed and he went out and wept bitterly because he knew that he denied his Lord. Then he was meeting behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They'd already killed Jesus. The dream was over. They were meeting behind locked doors thinking the Jews know that we're his followers. They'll be after us next. We're meeting behind locked doors because we're afraid. And then Pentecost happens. Pentecost happens. And after he is filled with the Spirit at Pentecost, Peter preaches to a crowd of many thousands. We don't know how many thousands, but many thousands. And we know that because it says at the end of Acts 2, the end of the passage I read earlier, those who believed what Peter said and were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Now, you look completely underwhelmed by that because you're North Europeans. You're entitled to be. But I think that's phenomenal. If 3,000 were added to Mariner's Church today, what would we be doing? We would be dancing around the building. 3,000 people. This man who denied Jesus, who'd run away from Jesus, who was meeting behind locked doors because he feared the Jews, stood up in front of this great crowd of people and said, "You, this Jesus that you killed died for you. And you need to put your faith and trust in him." And 3,000 did. Now, you can tell me, but I won't believe you, that that change came about. Not as a result of the Spirit coming at Pentecost. You can tell me, I won't believe you. I can only believe that that change, that transformation in Peter came about because of the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon him at Pentecost. Extraordinary power to give him pluckiness or boldness to proclaim that message that 3,000 people responded to that day. An extraordinary thing. And in Acts 5, it says, three chapters later, after a prayer meeting, they were praying for courage in the face of persecution. Notice they weren't praying for persecution to be taken away from them. They said, give us courage in the face of persecution. They expected persecution. And it says, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. One translation says, they spoke the word pluckily. No, it doesn't actually. I just made that up. But it fits in with my sermon. But they spoke the word of God boldly. They were filled again in Acts 5, where they'd been filled in Acts 2. They were filled again with the Holy Spirit, which goes to emphasize Paul's point in Ephesians 5, where he says, go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The early disciples, the apostles, were. They kept on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit regularly. Thank you. One Pentecostal in the house. The Spirit of Pentecost. Okay, so we've done the Spirit of passion, power, the Spirit of proclamation, the Spirit of Pentecost. The Spirit came upon a group of frightened, uncertain believers and turned them into world changers, because within 300 years, what had happened? The whole of the known world was Christianized through the message of those first apostles. Extraordinary. They were clothed with power from on high. The church was born. It is now made up of a third of the world's population, estimated to be 2.3, 2.4 billion people. Do you know, it's reckoned, some estimates say that 10% of the population of the Islamic Republic of Iran are now believers. Isn't that amazing? It's reckoned that across the face of the earth today, 84,000 people are coming to faith in Jesus every day. It's also reckoned that in China is probably now the largest Christian nation in the world, even though the church is not an official church. Most of it is not an official recognized church. But there are probably more Christians in China than in any other nation on the earth today. It's reckoned, you read a book called Wind in the House of Islam, an extraordinary book. In the first 1300 years of the existence of Islam, since the Prophet Muhammad in the 6th century, there were reckoned to be 13 movements of Muslims towards Jesus Christ. And when they talk about movements, they are referring to at least 10,000 people. Movements. 12 of those happened in the 20th century. Only one happened in the first 12 centuries. This century, the 21st century, the first 13 years, there are estimated to have been 69 movements of Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ. That's 69 movements of at least 10,000 people coming to faith in Jesus Christ across the earth today. The first 13 years of this century. Isn't that extraordinary? What is happening across the earth today? The Church of Jesus Christ, about 2.3 billion people in the world today. Should we have a greater expectation of the Holy Spirit coming in power at Pentecost than any other day? I think the answer is yes and no. No, in the sense that we are a Pentecost people. We welcome the Holy Spirit every week because we can't live without the Holy Spirit. But yes, in the sense that, you know, when it's your child's birthday, you attend to your child's needs every day of the year, I hope. Don't put your hand up if you don't. But on their birthday, you give them special attention, right? Well, it's the birthday of the church today. We might be saying to our Heavenly Father, Father, it's our birthday. What have you got for us today? It's our birthday. It's the birthday of the church. What have you got for us today? Wow. On my birthday, I get presents. I hope on your birthday you get presents too. If you don't get presents on your birthday, come and see me afterwards. We'll have a whip round. We do have a greater expectation. And, you know, we're reminded, if you then, though you are evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts, or the Holy Spirit, Matthew and Luke, to those who ask and keep on asking him? Let's stand, shall we? We're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, because it's our birthday. The psalmist says, be still before the Lord and wait 20 seconds for him. You know that doesn't say that. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do you think that in the Western world we've forgotten how to be patient? It's a real problem for us. We've forgotten how to be patient. Those first disciples waited 10 days. We're going to do the... No, we're not. But we might wait 5 minutes and just see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Do you know, on the Alpha Day away or the Alpha Weekend away, we give an hour and a half with a little bit of teaching, and then we have 45 minutes to an hour of ministry where we just wait on the Holy Spirit. We are constantly astonished by what the Holy Spirit does in people's hearts and lives. Usually very inward, very powerful. I wonder how hungry we are for him. How long we're prepared to wait. What gift might your Heavenly Father have for you today? Maybe it's just a fresh infilling of his powerful Spirit. Maybe it's just reigniting the fire, because actually you're just the pilot light, not the fully roaring boiler. Maybe it's a new gift that you long for. Maybe it's speaking in tongues or another spiritual gift, gift of the Spirit. Maybe it's a rekindled spirit, a gift that you've just has fallen into disuse. Paul said to Timothy, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. What is that gift that needs to be fanned into flame? Maybe you need boldness or pluckiness to speak to others about Jesus and what he's done for you. Maybe you need a physical healing today. Maybe that's what you need. Well, we're going to wait just for a few minutes today. We're going to wait because, you know, for us, 3 or 4 minutes will feel like 3 or 4 hours because we're not good at waiting and being patient. But we are going to wait. And I'm just simply going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I'd encourage you to close your eyes so you're not distracted by what's going on around. I'd encourage you to hold your hands out as a gesture saying, Lord, I want to receive whatever you have for me. Holy Spirit, give me whatever you want to give me. If you have something that you specifically want to ask him for it. If you want somebody to come and pray with you, simply raise a hand and I'll ensure that somebody comes to you to pray. But let's just close our eyes. If you are happy to do that, let's hold our hands out and I'll just pray. Come, Holy Spirit. It's the most ancient prayer in the church. Come, Holy Spirit. We want more of you. On our birthday, as your church, we say, Holy Spirit, come. We welcome you. We long for more of you. Come. Come, Holy Spirit.